Hey, all you creatures of the night, get ready to sink your fangs into another fresh episode of The Horror Report with your ghost with the most, Dr. Golula. Strap in and sharpen those claws, because we're about to tear into this week's bloody banquet of news that'll make your skin crawl and your heart thump like a final girl running from a slasher in stilettos. There's a chance I might drop a few bombs, yeah, I'm talking the kind that would make even a demon blush, because when the horror gets real, so does the fucking language. If you can handle gut-wrenching gore but cringe at an F-bomb, you might be in the wrong damn crypt. Tonight, we're slashing through a throng of thrilling tales, from the spookily spectacular to the goriously bizarre. Gear up for the latest screams in horror cinema, TV's darkest corners, and all the spine-tingling pop culture chaos you can stab a stake into. So, goblins and ghoulies, keep it here and let's raise some hell. Welcome to The Horror Report. If you dare to stick around, I promise it'll be a scream. Let's get this horror show on the road. Alright, horror hounds, it's your good Dr. Golula here on The Horror Report, and it's that time to dive into the gory guts of the box office. Grab your popcorn and a stiff drink, cause we're counting down from number 5 to the supreme ruler of the weekend's money-making slaughterfest. Kicking off at number 5, where the sands are just as blood-red as our beloved genre, is Dune, Part 2. This epic space opera raked in $4,333,743 over the weekend, even though it took a 41.7% dive. But hey, sandworms gotta eat too, right? And those cash dollars are looking mighty tasty. Rolling up to number 4, it's Kung Fu Panda 4, pulling some sweet kung fu treachery to narrowly edge past Dune, with a $5,532,995 haul. Dropping 28.8% is a solid chop, though. Maybe it's all those panda paw strikes or just audiences realizing that even cuddly bears can kick some serious ass when they're animated by a bunch of horror-crazed misfits. Now, third place gets a bit ectoplasmic with Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. Looks like audiences still can't get enough of those proton packs and slimy specters to the tune of $5,757,121. Although, slipping 36.1%, I guess a few ghosts got busted good, huh? But really, I wanna know when those fuckers will finally zap a ghost into our realm. I'm ready to interview some spectral beings on this show. Revving into second, motherfuckers, it's Godzilla X Kong, the new empire, with a monster mash earning of $15,539,152. Sure, it's a 50.2% plummet, but shit, when you've got two behemoths throwing down, who even counts the falling buildings as losses anymore? And the current box office blood king, sitting pretty and psychotic at number 1, is Civil War, raking in an unholy $25,712,608 on its first weekend. A24 knows how to birth these fucked up, mind-bending existential horrors, and audiences are lapping up the gore like thirsty vampires. That's it for your bloody box office breakdown, creeps. Stick around as we slice and dice our way through more Horror Report shenanigans coming up next. Alright, horror hounds, gear up to get your creep on, because the gods of goth have bestowed upon us some juicy fucking news. So, you know what has everyone here at the Horror Report absolutely losing their shit? The impeccable Steve motherfucking Buscemi is stepping into the gloriously macabre world of Tim Burton's Wednesday. That's right, the legend himself, the guy we all know from cinematic treasures like Reservoir Dogs and Fargo, is diving headfirst into the twisted saga of the Addams Family's darling daughter. Word on the street, or should I say, whisper in the crypt, is that Buscemi's set to be the new head honcho, the principal, over at Nevermore Academy. Now, the bigwigs are keeping a tight seal on the exact nature of his role, but hell, we can only imagine what kind of eerie antics he's gonna bring to the table. Think about it, freaky friends, what we've seen unfold in Wednesday, so far, we're talking murders, monsters, mayhem, and let's not forget, thwarting a catastrophic crusade against our beloved Nevermore and its peculiar protégés. With Buscemi stepping in, things can only get more twisted and tantalizingly terrifying. Plus, here's the skinny on the rest of the Spellbinding Squadron, are we gonna see the return of the quirky clan from season 1? Honestly, I wouldn't bet my last vial of virgin blood on it, but chances are pretty fucking good we'll be joining Uncle Fester in whatever kooky hellhole he crawls out of next. Seriously, there are whispers of this dude getting his own spin-off. Can you imagine? As for the creative coven steering this ship, Tim Burton's lurking in the shadows as exec producer, scattering his particular brand of dark whimsy over the project. You've got the showrunners, Alfred Goff and Miles Miller, conjuring up new chaos, and Jenna Ortega, our scream queen du jour, she's got her hands on the wheel as exec producer, too, promising to swerve this ride deeper into horror territory. Folks, Let's Not Beat Around the Boneyard Bush, We're Hype as Fuck For, Wednesday, Season 2 to hit Netflix. Buscemi's boarding this ghost train is just a cherry on top of the Graveyard Sunday. Stick with the Horror Report for any new thrills and chills that creep out of that eerie enclave because we're dying to see what's next. Alright, Fright Fiends, if you missed this one in theaters, buckle up because it's time to talk about a movie that's been slicing up the competition from its devilishly wicked marketing stunts to its fucking theatrical success, and it's put a certain Scream Queen on an even higher pedestal, Michael Mohan's Immaculate. Now, if you haven't heard of Immaculate, let me give you the lowdown. This is the film that had everyone and their sinister sister running to the theaters when they dropped ticket prices to just $6.66. I mean, shit, if that doesn't scream, come watch me, I don't know what does. Now, headlines are blazing again because Neon, those crafty cinematic devils, have just unleashed Immaculate for your home viewing pleasure as of today. Yeah, that's right, you can now digitally rent or buy this creepfest and let the demonic delights wash over you in the satanic sanctuary you call your living room. If you've been living under a tombstone and have skipped the deets on this one, here's a quick gut punch of a synopsis for you. Immaculate stars the unstoppable Sydney Sweeney as Cecilia, a pious nun on a new path in a remote convent located somewhere in the goddamn picturesque Italian countryside. Sounds peaceful, right, wrong, motherfuckers. It all goes to hell in a handbasket when Cecilia uncovers some horrifying secrets and, well, I won't spoil it, but let's just say this convent ain't your grandma's Sunday service. Fans, critics, and everyone in between have been eating this shit up at the box office for 3 weeks straight, and it's easy to see why. This flick has brought in over 15 million bucks, proving that horror and religion still make a fucking explosive cocktail. By the way, the wise among you might wanna watch this one solo, because this ain't a flick to queue up with any Bible thumpers in your life unless you wanna scare them straight out of their holy robes. So there you have it, horror hounds. Whether you're a streaming junkie or a die-hard physical media collector, Immaculate is ready to descend upon your screens, and it's just itching to possess your soul, or maybe just spook you shitless. You be the judge. Now, get out there and get your fill of heavenly horror hellfire, that is if you dare. Alright horror hounds, if you love ducking and dodging crossbow bolts and getting stuck in with the delightfully deadly game of hide and seek that was, ready or not, you're gonna fucking love what I've got to spill next. Grab your sacrificial daggers and wedding vows, cuz, ready or not, 2 feet is storming down the aisle, and it's an absolute fucking banger, at least according to the mad geniuses at Radio Silence. The original snuck up on us like a bride's psychotic in-laws, and became a sleeper hit, dripping in black comedy and splattered in gore. Now, the killer filmmaking duo behind the first bloodbath, Tyler Gillett and Matt Bettinelli Alpin, have been rubbing their bloodstained hands with glee, letting slip to Entertainment Weekly that there is a script for the sequel that's rocking their sick little world. They're playing coy, not spilling too many guts, but Gillett hyped it up saying, "We are so excited that it's happening," noting that this motherfucker is truly the love of their creative lives. Bettinelli Alpin joined the chorus, noting that with Searchlight and star Samara Weaving involved, there's no way this sequel is going to skimp on the screams or the satire. And let's face it, the first flick slashed its way through expectations and bank accounts, raking in a killer $57 million off a shoestring budget. We don't have a release date yet, but if Radio Silence's track record is anything to go by, with their bloody good time at the helm of Scream and Scream D, we're in for a treat that's tastier than wedding cake with a side of arsenic. So, folks, keep your machetes sharp and your escape routes planned. Ready or Not 2 Feet is getting ready to slice up the big screen, and when it hits, you sure as hell want to be ready for it. Stay tuned, my creepy compadres, for more shivers and shakes from yours truly, Dr. Golula, on The Horror Report. Alright, horror hounds, get ready to be gripped onto your seats because Park Chan-wook's badass revenge thriller, Oldboy, is about to crash your living room screens. Lionsgate Television is bringing this masterpiece to the small screen, and holy shit, isn't it a recipe for some epic TV nights? I'm rolling out the red carpet, because when a film that's got the canned stamp of badassery slides into your weekly watchlist, you know it's not fucking around. Now, if you're like me, you're probably wondering, how the hell can they match the original's deranged glory? I mean, this is the flick that blessed us with one of the most jaw-dropping fight scenes ever shot, and not to mention, a twist that hit us like a goddamn freight train, no spoilers for the uninitiated. But here's the kicker, the South Korean visionary Park, himself, is on board as producer. That's like having the horror gods bestow their bloody blessings on the project. And you've gotta think about the legacy here. Oldboy is no kid's bedtime story, it's hardcore, it's brutal, it's artistic as fuck. Transitioning from a manga to a cinematic icon, and now to binge-worthy TV, it's like watching the evil metamorphosis of a horror butterfly. The big question mark is hovering over how this Americanized TV adaptation will tackle the infamous, let's call it the Hammer Time, corridor scene, and whether it'll have the balls to push boundaries like its predecessor. Now, the series is still cooking in the hellish kitchen of production, so all this speculation is just that, but if Lionsgate delivers on the promise of raw, unfiltered, emotional powerhouse storytelling, then, motherfuckers, we might just have a new reason to lock our doors, kill the lights, and creep ourselves the fuck out on the regular. So, while we await this pièce de résistance of TV horror, all that's left is to keep our eyes peeled, wait for the blood to hit the fan, and hope that this adaptation doesn't fuck up the original's gut-wrenching legacy. Keep it bloody and beautiful, old boy. We're watching, with cautious, but oh-so-hopeful, eyes. Stay tuned as we track this beast's journey from the storyboard to your scream-filled binge nights. Looks like our favorite pint-sized slasher isn't ready to hang up his knife just yet, folks. Chucky has been stirring up mayhem in the most fucking unexpected places. I mean, the White House. Seriously, what's next? A bloodbath on the International Space Station. With Don Mancini at the helm, it's like Chucky's got a sworn enemy in normalcy itself, and I'm all here for it. Now, there's been some chatter about where old Chuck is headed next. Mancini's been teasing a concept for season 4 that he's pitched to the network, and by the sound of it, it's shaping up to be another wild-ass ride. Can't spill the gory details yet, but he's hell-bent on taking things in another crazy new direction. It's like grabbing a seat on the most fucked up carousel you can imagine, and I suggest you buckle the fuck up. Look, season 3 hasn't even wrapped up yet, and the suspense is killing me more than Chucky could. We've got some nerve-wracking episodes ahead, culminating with Panic Room. Remember, if you're itching for a season 4, you better show up for season 3 like it's your last goddamn horror show. Let's show the suits that viewer devotion is as strong as Chucky's thirst for carnage. The real bloody cherry on top. Mancini isn't just daydreaming about small screen slaughter, he's also got eyes on a new fucking movie. So it turns out, Chucky's got more lives than a goddamn alley cat with a voodoo spell. So keep those fingers crossed, or better yet, frantically slashing the air in anticipation of more Chucky madness. Mancini's got the vision, and God willing, the powers that be have the balls to go another round with the most notorious good guy doll in horror history. Here's rooting for season 4, because, let's be real, who doesn't want more Chucky in their life? It's like saying no to extra blood on your horror Sunday. Who does that, right? Alright, my creeptastic listeners, let's sink our fangs into the review of Nightwatch, Demons Are Forever, the sequel that's been hiding in the dark, biding its time to jump out and scare the living shit out of us. Now, if you remember, the original, Nightwatch, from 94 wasn't just a film, it was an experience that chilled us to the bone, with a unique blend of thrills and chills that made our skin crawl. And surprise, motherfuckers, it's back. Nightwatch, Demons Are Forever, marks the return of original star Nikolai Coster-Waldau, and just like a slasher villain we can't kill off, this dude is back to remind us why the night shift is no fucking joke. The trailer had me on the edge of my seat. Those crafty Danes sure know how to set up a suspenseful scene. With the eerie throwbacks to the original, the sequel promises to deliver new twists that make your pulse race faster than a final girl running from a killer. Kim Bodnia and Ulf Pilgaard are also back, making it a goddamn reunion of terror. The plot, oh, man, we've got a 22-year-old medical student, Emma, played by the badass Fanny Leander Bornadel, stepping into the cursed shoes of the Night Watch at the same morgue that nearly got her parents killed. There's a deliciously dark irony there, and it tastes fucking great. And get this, she's poking the bear, or rather, the psychopath, by tracking down the infamous police inspector Wormer, who's as pleasant as a case of hemorrhoids. The bloodthirst, reactivated, the sequel is drenched in vengeance, and I can't wait to watch these motherfuckers dance around in their deadly tango. Directed by Ole Bornadel, the brains behind the original, Nightwatch, this sequel is looking to outdo its predecessor. Can it? Well, we'll just have to wait until May 17, 2024, to find out. Until then, keep your eyes peeled on Shudder, because that's where this baby is making its haunting debut. If it lives up to the hype, we might just have a new classic on our bloodstained hands, folks. So lock the doors, check under your bed, and whatever you do, don't watch this shit alone. Alright, you twisted horror hounds, let's pivot to something a bit more uplifting, if I dare say. Now, if there's anyone out there whose stamp of approval you want on your horror flick, it's gotta be the maestro of monsters himself, Guillermo del fucking Toro. And guess what? He just shone his gothic spotlight on a little-known, but mind-blowing la creative Lovecraftian romance called Spring, directed by none other than our indie darlings Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. If you're scratching your heads wondering why this charmingly bizarre film isn't a household name, well, it's one of the industry's best-kept secrets. Del Toro spat some truth on social media, praising this flick and basically telling you to stop everything you're doing, stop the sacrifices, put down the Ouija board, and watch Spring. It's the tale of a young guy who, in true horror movie fashion, flees to Italy and falls for a woman who's hiding, let's say, a dark primordial secret. This gem takes you for a fucking rollercoaster ride through romance and horror, seamlessly stitching them together with a narrative that's as tender as it is terrifying. If you're seeking an antidote to the standard hack and slash fare, this movie's got your fix. Think of it as a Valentine's Day date with Cthulhu. Sexy, right, now Benson and Moorhead have been conjuring cinematic spells under Hollywood's radar for quite a while. These guys have been crafting original stories that not only twist your mind but also carve out a whole new path in the horror genre. Their work on Loki and Moon Knight, just a taste of their genius. So, if you trust Del Toro, and let's be honest, we all fucking do, give Spring a watch. We're riding the coattails of his endorsement straight into Benson and Moorhead's entrancing, monster-filled universe, and it's sure to be a feast for the senses. And you know what? It might even restore your faith in finding true love, or at least, your faith in killer horror that doesn't fit the cookie-cutter mold. Did somebody say Korean horror? Because it's got a fucking stronghold on Netflix right now, clawing its way into audiences' nightmares with the tenacity of a K-drama love triangle. I'm talking about Another, and Higurashi When They Cry, but this time, Nian Sang-ho, the brilliant mind behind Train to Busan, has got us all in his grip. This maverick director, who cut his teeth in animation only to gnaw through live action like a boss, has now brought Parasite, The Grey, to Netflix. Now take note, this isn't your granddad's horror series. Picture this, extraterrestrial parasites invading Earth with a simple mission, dig into some human flesh. But shit hits the fan when one bungles the job and partially infects a woman. What do you get? An unexpected, gruesome buddy cop drama with body horror that'll make your skin crawl in the best fucking way possible. It's a spin-off from the original manga and anime, bringing all the squishy, gory goodness to life. And goddamn, it's a slick 6 episodes that'll have you eyeballing every twitchy movement from your cat, wondering if it's been body snatched. And here's the shit kicker, fans can't get enough of it. They've taken to social media like it's the apocalypse, and the only thing worth broadcasting is how batshit awesome Parasite, The Grey, is. If you're wondering what all the fuss is about, get your ass over to Twitter, where a Chadiskalins, our resident horror junkie, is losing his goddamn mind over this show. Seriously, you'd think he discovered the secret to eternal life or some shit. But no, it's just that fucking good. Heads up, there might just be more coming down the pipe, given the deep well of the manga and anime's source material. So, folks, brace yourselves for a parasitic bonanza of carnage, heart, and sheer goddamn horror fun. Welcome back to The Horror Report. Now, let's turn to a flick that's bending minds and snapping expectations like a dead man's fingers. I'm talking about Triangle, that tripped-out thriller that's mixing up timelines worse than a drunk DJ at a time traveler's party. It's slasher, it's time travel, and it's a psychological freakout all tied up in one neat, blood-soaked package. So, Triangle, directed by Christopher Smith, who's like a hidden gem in the treasure chest of horror, hit Prime Video and Plex, and it's been jerking chains ever since. Melissa George, bless her genre-loving heart, absolutely kills it as the lead, lost on a ship where deja vu is a more reliable friend than the fucking compass. Talk about a loneliness trip with a spice of existential dread that you just gotta love. Listen, this movie's like that one guest at a party you can't ignore, you know the type, they're spinning such wild tales, you're glued to every word, even though your brain's screaming, this can't be real. Well, guess what, fans are slurping up this mind-bender like it's the last beer at said party, and they're coming back for seconds and thirds. And you gotta give it to Tyler Dupe from our own horror vault. The dude called it when he said, Triangle hits you with a conclusion that comes out of nowhere like a ghost slap, you just don't see it coming. It ain't just a clever title, this film's like a Bermuda Triangle for your expectations, you sail in thinking you know what's up, and then bam. You're lost in a sea of what the fuckery. So grab a seat, fire up Prime Video or Plex, and let Triangle loop you into its eerie, maritime madness. Trust me, it's got enough twists and turns to make your head spin like Linda Blair on a bar stool. And when you're done, you hit me up, and we'll untangle this tantalizing terror together, right here on The Horror Report. Stay tuned, because next up we've got some deep dark woods and iconic shaky cams to talk about with the controversial Blair Witch Project. Stick around, it's gonna be a hell of a ride. Alright, my fellow darkness dwellers, let's veer off into the mist-shrouded woods of controversy now. We've gotta talk about the latest skeleton to tumble out of Hollywood's closet. When it comes to horror, we've had more than just creatures jumping out at us. This time, it's Joshua Leonard, one of the stars from the revolutionary 99 flick, The Blair Witch Project. So, here's the fucking tea that Leonard spilled all over his Instagram. Leonard blasted the motherfuckers for claiming ownership over their actors, treating them like goddamn pawns rather than human beings with souls and shit. We're talking about exploitation, people, the studio system treating folks like they're disposable, just another cog in the big-ass profit-making machine. The studio cashed in big time, while the actors, like Leonard and Heather Donahue, got a raw deal, signed when they were fresh-faced babes in the industry woods. Let's not forget that Donahue even nuked her identity for a while to hide from the grip of that Blair Witch curse. She didn't just change her hairstyle, guys, she changed her fucking name. All because she, Leonard, and the others got shafted big time in what he calls 25 years of disrespect. But hey, don't say all's doomed and gloomy, because there's an interesting twist. Since Leonard put those studio fucks on blast, there's been some wiggling. Lionsgate reached out, offering an olive branch in the form of a charity screening for O Positive. It's about damn time to give back to those who scared the piss out of us and to help out the artists living without healthcare. These revelations about the Blair Witch Project aren't just some campfire ghost story, they're a stark reminder of the dark side of filmmaking. The power balance is more skewed than a witch's nose, and it's the voices like Leonard's that are gonna help level the playing field. It's no fairy tale ending yet, but at least they're starting to listen. Alright, fear freaks, let's keep our eyes peeled for updates on this one, cause it's as intriguing as a night alone in those haunted woods. Stay wild, and remember to give a shit about the little guy, cause they're the heart of indie horror. Alright, my fellow horror hounds, that about does it for this blood-curdling edition of the Horror Report. We've slashed through a mountain of eerie updates, from Steve Buscemi's creepy new gig at Nevermore Academy to that impending shutter from Nightwatch, Demons Are Forever. Damn, it's been a ride faster than a werewolf on a skateboard. A massive shout-out to every single one of you twisted souls for tuning in and feeding your ears with the delicious, macabre stories we've dished out. Couldn't do this without your hunger for horror, so thanks for being such badass supporters of the spooktacular and supernatural. Hold on to your guts, cause next time, we'll be diving into even more grotesque greatness, and who the fuck knows what ghastly goodies we'll uncover from the crypts of cinema and sinister series. So, stay tuned, stay terrified, and remember, in the world of horror, there's always a darker corner you haven't peeked into yet. This is Dr. Golula signing off, don't let the bed demons bite. And hey, if they do, bite those motherfuckers back. Catch you on the flip side, where we'll be keeping it horrific, eclectic, and, as always, delightfully frightful. Stay scared, my friend.